Moje ידידי דמורת רשליטה, חושב רבונים, פרנס, חברים, בלבטים חשובים, the honest is, I'm not exactly a פונים חדוש here in Great Neck. Rabbi Cohen reminded me that the last time I was here in the shul for Shabbos actually was 5 years ago. To me it didn't seem it was such a long time ago. The measure of the years, I had the opportunity to be also in other Mekoymus as well, Mekoymus HaTorah here in Great Neck. What caught my eye right away is to see that Baruch Hashem, that the Beis Medrash has expanded from the size that it was when I was here 5 years ago. And I confirmed it with Rabbi Cohen, in fact, that this is the case, and he tells me that therefore we need another Chanukah Shabbos and I have to come again. So, usually when a shir is said, a magid shir or a lecturer chooses his topic, but Rabbi Cohen just left a message on the machine that he would suggest, being that this is the shloshim for his father, that the topic should have something to do with Olam Hazeh versus Olam Habo. So maybe it's Kedai, very, very beneficial, because in fact every Jew lives and one day will have to face the Borei Olam, the Creator, and be confronted with what his future life and future place in the future world will be looking like. How much Olam Habo? Where is his destiny taking him? Where is his journey? The truth is that, on the one hand, we have not such good news. And that is because, you know, Chazal say in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, Omer Aleph, and Chazal used it with a moshul, Mi shetorach be'erev Shabbos is yoichel b'Shabbos. Misha loy torach b'erev Shabbos, mehechen yoichel b'Shabbos. Which simply means on two levels. Someone, of course, who prepares, if you cook on Erev Shabbos, so then you will have what to eat on Shabbat, if you prepare on Erev Shabbos. But if you don't cook on Erev Shabbat, what are you going to eat on Shabbos? You're not going to have anything. This is a moshul. This is a moshul for the future world. This world that we're living in is the world of Erev Shabbos. The main world, our destination hopefully, which is the Yom Shekulei Shabbos, which is the world of Olam Haba. And we are told by Chazal that in order to be able to acquire a share in Olam Haba, we have to prepare. There is no free ride, there is nothing that is given bechinam. And therefore, if you have prepared, if in fact we did the right thing on this world, then we can expect to eat b'Shabbos, to have a share in Olam Haba. Mi shetorach b'erev Shabbos is yoichel b'Shabbos. Once a person leaves this world, he becomes what is called chofshi min ha-mitzvahs, which means that not only he is no longer mechuyev to do mitzvahs, he cannot, even if he wants to, even if he wants to, he cannot add any more to his chuyot that he has. You cannot do anything. Kol zman a person is on this world, then he's able to create, he's able to build, and he's able to enrich his spiritual bank account. But once a person leaves this world, he will not be able to gain any mitzvahs and any zchuyot. As is very well known, that the Gaon of Vilna, that before his patira, before he passed away, he cried bitterly, and when he was asked, what is the siba of his bechiyah, explained and says, look, you have here a simple mitzvah to be able to be mekayim such a mitzvah of tzitzis. Mitzvah of tzitzis, all you have to do is for $15 you buy a pair of tzitzis, you wear it, and you mekayim a mitzvah 24 hours a day, or at least 12 hours a day, without doing anything. Wherever you go, wherever you walk, you wear tzitzis. There'll come a time, he says, there'll come a time in the next world you will be able, he says, to want and to yearn and be ready to pay millions of dollars and we not be able to buy one mitzvah of tzitzis, he says. You won't be able to do it. For kol hoyin di alma, he says, as much as you'd want to sacrifice and give everything away that you own, you will not be able to buy a mitzvah of tzitzis anymore. You can only do it on this world. In this world, it comes cheap. You can do it very easily. You just have to want to do it. So, Misha Torah Berev Shabbos is Yoichel B'Shabbos. So, of course, on the one hand, it means that once our time is up, it's over. The news is not too great because we all know by ourselves when we reflect and we look into our lives that there is so much more that we would have wanted to do, but then it's too late. Unfortunately, we wake up when we can no longer do more. However, the flip side, Rabbi Isai, there's good news as well. And the good news is, again, Chazal come and tell us, in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet, Daf Kuf Dalet, Chazal say, Berob Mezake Abba, that his son is able to be Mezake his father, which means that if someone's father passes away, even though he no longer can do anything for himself, he's already in Olam Habo. Whatever he accomplished on this world is already done. But Chazal tell us that if one leaves over a son, so the son who continues to do mitzvahs and matzim tovim on this world, Bero Mizake Abba, the son is able to be Mizake his father. And it's important. It's important if we want to understand how far this goes, is we always have to look into the Svarim HaKdoshim in one of the great Rishonim. And it's remarkable words that one of the Gedoyle Rishonim, Asher Mipivo Nuchayim Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina writes in the Igeres HaTshuva, and he writes as follows. And he writes about the Jewish mother. Rabbeinu Yoina writes, Tehei Ho'isho Zihiro Lehispalel. A woman should be careful to daven every day, and upon the conclusion of the tefillah, what should her tefillah be? Yei iker tachnuneo al boneho ubnoiseo sheyihyu yirei shomayim v'sheyihyu boneho matzlichim b'toyro. Rabbeinu Yoina says that a Jewish mother every day should be mispalel for the success of her children, girls and boys. The girls should be yirei shomayim, should be God-fearing people, should want to do the Ratzon Hashem and be mispalel on behalf of their children, that the children should be Talmid Chachomim. Ki iker zechuta shel isha, the main zchus of the woman lo'olam habo, what's going to be her zchus when the day of reckoning comes, says Rabbeinu Yoina, sheboneho oivdim la'Hashem yizborach ve'oisem retzoinoi ve'yireim oisoi, and they have Yirei Shemayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they fear him. That's going to be the Ikar Zchus. So the greatest Zchus that a woman is able to acquire for herself is if she has the Zchus that her children are Yirei Shemayim nar Oisik B'Torah. And this doesn't come easy, because many times you can pay the biggest tuition, you can send your children to the best schools, but you need Seyati the Shemayim to be Matzliach in children. More than ever we see this today. We see the whole situation that we have in the areas of chinuch. We know that there are situations that we call children at risk. We find children from the best of families. You can have model parents. But the challenges and the nisyonos hachayim, the test of time that we find in the world, through being avalanched by all of the media and being exposed to all of the wild winds, all of the foreign influences and philosophies that we are inundated, that constantly, continuously, we are confronted with, we need tremendous Yadi Shemayah. The Sot and the Yetzirah does not stop. And therefore, in order to be Matzliach, to have children that are Matzliach, B'Torah, you have to have Tzila. You have to have Yadi Shemayah. It is said that the Stipler, the Chroin Levrocha, who has a son, of course, that is known by all world-renowned, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, of course, one of the recognized Gedoyle Hador today. It is said that many, many years ago, someone came to the Stipler and asked him, his Rebbe, give me a brocha, give me a bracha that I should be Matzliach, my children should be B'nai Torah, they should be Talmid HaChachomim. So the Stipler said, You want a bracha? I'm still mispaler for my son Chaim to be a Talmid Chacham. He was 40 years old already. He was already a Godel Hador at that time. It didn't stop davening for him. You have to continuously daven and daven and daven and be mispaler. To be matzliach, to have children, Talmid Chachomim, and to have girls and boys who are oiskim b'ritzayna shulmokoy. This is what Rabbeinu Yoyin is telling us. And he goes on to say, it doesn't stop here. And Rabbeinu Yoyin says, Ikejehi bebeis oiloma, and finally when she's going to be bebeis oiloma, means when the time comes, and she's going to leave this world. Ubaneha yesh belibam yiras shamayim v'yoyskim b'toyra b'mitzvahs, but she leaves behind children who have yiras shamayim and they are oyskim b'toyra b'mitzvahs. Nechshav la hadavar hazeh kiluhi b'chayim. It's considered that she's still alive, even though she's no longer here. But she's living, she continues to live through her children. The fact that her children are being mamshich, the fact that her children are oisik b'toyra, it's ki'iluk hi b'chayim v'oisa kol ha-mitzvois. V'hi and she b'malois el yoinois le'olam haba. And she reaches the highest madrig in Olam Haba. It can't be overstated. You see how important this is. To recognize that, in fact, as much as we do for ourselves, you can never do enough. And therefore, if there's any investment that we would like to be matzliach, the best investment forever, an eternal investment, is to be mashkiah, to invest all of our koiches. To see that we have children, bodim, banot, that are following b'derech ha-toyre and are fighting for Ritzon Shemayim, to be ma'abik v'oit Shemayim. And as the Ben Yoyne says, if one has the schus to leave children, Yirei Hashem and Oiskim b'Torah, it's ki'ilu, he says, the niftar is still b'chayim. It's ki'ilu, he's mamish as if he's still alive. That is what is meant when we say that b'ro mezak abo, that in fact, that his son is able to be mezakeh the father. He cannot do anymore. Mi shetorach berek Shabbos yoichol b'Shabbos. He cannot do for himself. He's already in the next world. He for himself cannot do, but his children can. His children are able to be mamshich, and the children are not just doing for themselves. They're doing for themselves, of course. But at the same time, everything that they do is actually eschus for the father, and it is as if the father and the mother both are continuing to do exactly those mitzvahs. Ki'ilu, as he says, hi b'chayim, is ki'ilu, the mother herself is actually alive. And to understand how this works, how does the taka work, how is it possible that a parent who is no longer doing anything should be able to glean, should be able to reap the rewards of what someone else is doing? If someone else is doing, that someone else is doing, but the parent isn't doing anymore. So how does it shy? How does it work? How is it my son does and I gain and I'm able to reap the reward because my son is doing something? So here again comes the great Reb Chaim Vilojin. Reb Chaim Vilojin says in one of the Sfarim, which is not as popular as the others, and that is the Sefer Menucha Ukdusha, and he writes there in Shar HaTzila, says Reb Chaim Vilojin, he says the truth is Acher HaMavet, he says, after one dies, Ein Schus V'lo Choyva. You can either do mitzvahs, nor can you do averis. You can't do avera, you can't do mitzvah either. But when you're alive, yochol lita ilon, you can plant a tree. If I plant a tree, so automatically I did one act, I planted a tree, and ultimately for years and years I have peiros, and these peiros are all a result of my planting because of the seed that I planted in the ground. He says, when you plant a tree, lahoitzi peiros la yitoim pirio lioilom, whose fruits will never, never cease. The tree will continue always to bear fruit. He says, so therefore, a person who is mechanech his children, he says, im hiniach ben al yedei chinuch oviv b'toyr b'mitzvahs. If I mechanech my children, I raise my children to follow b'derech Hashem, I have planted a tree. I have planted not just a seed, I planted a living tree. My children are my trees. And all the mitzvahs that they do, these are the peirot, these are the peiros out of the tree. So if I plant the seed, automatically all those peiros are a result of my action, of my deed, of my maisa, of my pe'ula. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Vilojin, if one is mechanech his children, gives them a proper Jewish education, and instills the right values and serves as a role model when parents have the schus to do so by acting properly and showing them the right way, showing children what is important in life, what excites them. You can fool the whole world, Rabotai, but you cannot fool your children. Children have a good nose. They recognize the penemius of the parents. Many parents on the outside seem to say one thing, but the children are able to recognize what, in fact, what is chashuv. Is it a $1 million deal? Or maybe the simcha that a parent has is when he's able to do a mitzvah, when he's able to be mekayim ritzoyin shemayim, when he's able to be ma'abik v'oy shemayim, when he learns Torah, when he's able to be mekayim an act of chesed to do tzedakah. When does a person become excited? What excites you? Children recognize that. And it is that hanhoge, it is that mitziut, what the parents are, that is the message that they are conveying to the children. And ever the parents are planting the seed. The parents are planting the seed, and memela, ultimately, the hemshech of the hanhaga of the children, this is a direct result of the parents themselves. But it goes even further than that. It goes even further than that. Children are actually not someone else doing for the father. Children actually are a direct extension. It's another aver, it's another limb of the parents. And whatever children do, automatically, is also credited to the parents. And I have to tell you something, a dover pella, an incredible thing. It's hafel of a fella. It's so hafel of a fella that very few people know about this. You know, Rabotai, when Avraham Avinu, when the time came for him to leave the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following phrase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following phrase. He says to him, "Va'ata tovoy el avoisecho bisholoy." That you, Avraham Avinu, this is Bereishis Tezvov Tezvov, that you, Avraham Avinu, when you leave this world, where are you going to go? You're going to go with your avotecha. Who is the father of Avraham Avinu? Terach. Is that such a good place to go? I want to know where Terach is. Where did Terach go? You want a ticket where Terach went? Va'ato tovoy el avoisecho bisholoim. Says the Ramban, this can be understood only in one of two ways. The simple understanding, says Ramban, what you have to say, Terach de Tshuva. Hear this? Terach de Tshuva. Terach de Tshuva. So where is he? He's in Olam Haba. Oh, Terach de Tshuva. That's what we see from the Pasuk. Va'ato tovoy el avoisecho bisholoim. You, Avraham Avinu, you will go in peace, right, to where your ancestors are. Meaning that Terach is also in Olam Haba, B'Shalom. Why? Why is Terach there? He did tshuva. This is not so hard to bear. As incredible as it seems, okay, Terach did tshuva. But comes Ramban, then he says something incredible. I say it again. Said Ramban, Shema, Shema maybe. Listen to what Ramban says. Now repeat it again, because you have to hear this. The second answer is Terach did not do tshuva. If Terach did not do tshuva, so why is Avraham Avinu going to meet Terach? Why is he going to meet him? Shema yeshloi chelik le'oilom habo bischus benoi. Unbelievable. It means one can have a father in Russia. You can have a father as Terach. Terach goes down to history. When all you want to say something about somebody, you want to say something about somebody who has a father Russia. Till to this day, he has a father of Terach, right there. To this day, Terach. Terach is the paradigm of a father of Russia. And not even Avi Dezora. Says Ramban, it's Yitochen that Terach the Russia does have a chelik olam haba. Why? What did he do? How did he earn it? Because there's a son of Avraham. Which means hafla v'sela. That if you have a son that follows B'derach Hashem, he's able to bring his father, he schleps his father out of Gehenna. He schleps his father, he pulls his father out of Gehenna. And where does his father go? His father also has a chelik olam haba. Simply why? Because he did anything? No, because he has a son Avraham. He has a son that follows B'derach HaTorah. It's a very, very fascinating thing. It's an incredible thing. But this is what Rambam tells us. That we see this tremendous, tremendous koyach. The emes is that a person is able to learn le'ilu nishmat somebody else as well. So it's brought down, like in the Sfarim, the Sefer Peleyoyitz, it's brought down also in Shulchan Aruch. For example, we know it's called Maskin Neshamot, right, when it comes to Yom Tovim. And what do we do? The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Tov Reish Chof Aleph, Nahagu lidor tzedokos b'yoyim ha-kippurim ba'ad ha-metin. We give tzedokah on behalf of Mason. And the Ramo adds, u'maskirim nishmoiseyem, da ha-mesim gam kem yesh lohem kapora b'yoyim ha-kippurim. Because Mason also have kapora. Says the Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah says, when can I give tzedakah on behalf of someone who's nifter? He brings it b'shem namogen Avraham. That davke, if the person who died, had he been alive, would also want to give tzedakah. But if that person, had he been alive, would not be ready to give tzedakah, you can't give on his behalf. So if you're a matzke nishomis on behalf of a stranger, it only works if that person, b'chayim chiyusoy, ilu hoya hu chay hoya noisin gamken tzedakah. Umitamzeh, he says, ein moyel mashenoidvim avur odom rosher. Ki gam ilu hoya chay ilu hoya noisin tzedakah. Comes the Mishneh Berurah, says the Chiddush. When you give for a stranger, if he's a Rosha, it will not help. But what about if it happens to be, unfortunately, one's own father? If one's own father is not such a tzaddik, mistavre dim habein noisen ba'ad oviv, bechol gavne moil lehokel dinoi de brom zaka apa. Hafel v'fel again. The special koyach eschus that a son is able to do on behalf of his father. On behalf of a stranger, if he's an Odom Rosha, it's hard to do something. But on behalf of one's father, no matter what the situation, if the son is a tzaddik and the son follows the B'derech HaTorah, he's able to accomplish tremendous, tremendous, tremendous things. And I have to tell you how far this goes. There was a tremendous, many, many years ago, there was a shaila, you know, that was asked. We see today there are people who pass on, leave this world, and they don't have someone to say the Kaddish for them. So what do? It's very common to hire someone. You hire someone, you pay him, kach v'kach, a year, and that person commits himself to say the Kaddish for the person who hired him. What happens if someone committed himself, let's call him Reuven. Reuven committed himself to say Kaddish for a stranger. He was hired. So if he's hired, now he's committed. So Reuven commits himself to say the Kaddish on behalf of someone. Turns out that Reuven's own father dies. So now Reuven has to say Kaddish for his own father. So if Reuven has to say Kaddish for his own father, what happens with the commitment? Does the commitment now become null and void? He has a commitment to say Kaddish for somebody else. Does he now stop saying Kaddish for somebody else? He now lost his own father. He had to say Kaddish for his own father. Comes one of the great Poiske Hador de Marsham. Marsham was Reb Sholom Mordechai HaKoyen, one of the great Poiskim, who lived, of course, many years ago, over 100 years ago, in Chelik Beis Simchot Tes. Right, the Marsham, he says, he does not break his commitment. He continues to say the Kaddish for the other person. As far as the father is concerned, he gets the schus automatically. The Masham says he gets the schus automatically because it's the son saying Kaddish. In other words, the son doesn't even have to have the kavanah that he's saying it on behalf of the father. He is saying Kaddish because he was hired. He's saying the Kaddish to fulfill his commitment to the other person, but his father gets credit anyway. And the Masham says aloshin ki gam beloy kavono berom nezake abo bechol hamasim utfiloisov. Lochein hadover poshut, says Marsham, shatchiris kayim, sedover niflo nachidish din, that we see from the Marsham. This is the koyach again, the tremendous koyach that we have. If they recognize how precious that our children are, we need our children. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, when it was niftah, the Gemara says in Ksubis, what Rabbeinu HaKodesh? The Tzadik Hador, he said, Lebonaya Nitzorech, he said, I need my children. Why do you need the children? Rabbeinu HaKodesh. The answer is because once a person leaves this world, he can no longer do for himself. But the investment and the seeds and the trees that he plants while he's alive, that continues to bear fruit at Sof Kol Adorot, until the end of time. That's what it means, Lebonai Anitzor, that I have to. It is Yidua that Chazal say an expression that Bero Kare Da'avua. The son, a son represents the foot of the father, or sons are the feet of the father. And the question is, why do Chazal compare the sun to the foot? Why not to the hand? Why not to the head? Why of all the Eivorim, why is the sun the raw kare, the Avur, Aramaic? The sun represents the feet of the Father. So Rav Huta Zatzal in Sefer Pachad Yitzchok, it's in the Igrois Uksovim, in the letters in Simon Reish Mem Beis. Rav Huta points out as follows. You realize, Rabotai, a person, as long as he is alive in this world, a person is supposed to be a hoilech. He's supposed to continue. You don't stay on the same madrega. Every day, hopefully, you go another madrega, another step higher. Because Rabbi said, if you don't go higher, then you fall behind. Usually, you cannot stand in one place. You cannot stand. There's no inyan. You cannot be an oimet. In Sifre Chassidut, they used to say, Asher Ish, Asher Halach Batzat Rishayim, as it says in Tehillim, the beginning, Ubederech Chataim Lo Omat. Amida is a derech chatoim. To be an oimet, to stand in one place, because either you go up or you go down. You cannot be an oimet. Kol zman you are alive, and Odom is a mahalech. He's a hoilech. He continues to go and go. In the next world, he's an oimet. He's an oimet. He can't do anything more for himself. He stands. He remains in the position that he is. That's where he is. Says Rav Hutner, but if a person has children, and the children follow B'derach Hashem, so Mele, all of the mitzvahs and the Torah that the children learn, this, as we mentioned, that Schus goes and the father is able to reap the reward of that Torah, which means that the father therefore continues to be a Hoylech in the next world through the mitzvahs that the sons are Mekayim. So Bro Kara the Avua, the son, is the foot of the father. He allows the father to continue to walk. The father continues to be a Hoylech. For the mitzvahs in the mountain Tavim that the sons are Mekayim. You realize, by the Mizbeach, you know, when you went up to the Mizbeach, there were no steps. Loisala b'maloisal mizbechi. Right, it was a ramp. You had a ramp, right, a slanted ramp, that you were able to ascend to go up to the top of the Mizbeach. There were no steps. In the Sefer Chassidus, especially in the Sefer Aruga Tabosem, with the great Gedoy the Ungarn, Hungaria, he points out and he says, I'll tell you why. Why there's no steps. Loisala b'malos al mizbechi. What is the difference? What is the difference between steps to a ramp? When a person tries to climb stairs, if you ever tried it, if you have 100 stairs to climb, when you get tired, you can stop. Just stop in the middle. Just stop, and you rest. And then when you decide to go further, you go further. If you're climbing up a ramp is slanted. If you don't push forward, you're going to fall behind because the force of gravity pulls you the other way. So when you're walking up a ramp, you have no choice but to continue always pushing forward. Because if you don't push forward, you're going to fall behind. When a person is involved with Avodat Hashem, the Mizbeach, that is the main mokum of the Avodah. Mizbeach is Avodah from the Korbonos. When you're dealing with Avodah, when you're dealing with the Mizbeach, Loisala b'malos, the climb is not through steps. Because when you climb through steps, you may decide just to stop. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, you don't stop. You have to continuously push forward. That's the idea, there's a ramp. Because you have to continue. When David HaMelech tells Batsheva that she's going to have the great schus, that her son, Shlomo HaMelech, is going to be the Memale Mokom, that Shlomo HaMelech is going to be king, so the Pesuk says, the Melochim, Aleph, Perik Aleph, it says, Vatikoit bat sheva apayim oret, Vitishtachvu la melech, she bowed down, Vatoyme yechi adoini hamelech David leyoilom. Yechi hamelech David leyoilom. Comes the son of the Chsam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer, he says, why, first of all? How is it possible for a person to live forever? Yechi hamelech David leyoilom, no one lives forever. How could she say, Yechi hamelech David leyoilom? How is it possible? No one lives forever. And second of all, why did she say this now when she was promised that Shlomo will be the successor? Why did she say it now? Said the Ksav Sofer, because the truth is, Kol Hamaniach ben Kemoto, if somebody leaves a son like himself, Chazal say ki ilu lo met. If someone leaves a son like himself, it's as if he never died. But that's dafke if the son is Memala Mekoymoy. If the son follows exactly in his footsteps, he's the Memale Mokoyim. If the son is not Memale Mokoyim, Even if he's a chacham, it's not ben kamoisai. Ben kamoisai means that he's mamala mekoimoi. If he actually fills the shoes of the father. And therefore, when Bathsheba heard that David promised that Shlomo HaMelech will be the successor to David, he'll be the mamala mekoim. So now the pshat is, Yechi HaMelech David Leolam, David will live forever through Shlomo. One lives forever through one's children. Yechi HaMelech David Leolam says the Ksav Sefer that is through Shlomo HaMelech. Through one's children that are Memalim Mekoimoy, they follow in your first steps, they continue in your drachim, they continue your ways. One is in fact Zoyche to these great things. I have to tell you, many, many people try to figure out the best ways how to memorialize, immortalize. People become very emotional when they lose a loved one, especially when loses a parent, a father of a mother. What Chaim says, you see people many times, what they think that the biggest cover they can do is to put up a big matzeva, the most expensive matzeva, you know, the most expensive one, fancy marble, expensive granite, and so on and so forth. The more expensive it is, the bigger it is, the wider it is. Says the Chofetz Chaim, he says, that's a big mistake. That's not the kavod, he said, for your father. That's not the kavod for your mother. The big matzaveh, says, a stick stone. What is it? A piece of stone. Piece of stone, he says, will not do him any good, he says. Smaller stone, bigger stone, doesn't make a difference, he says. The yoyser toiv, says the Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Havas Chesed. The yoyser toiv hoyolahem, sheyasimu matzeva she'eina yikara kolkach. Don't spend your money on the matzeva. What you do with the money? Instead of spending on the expensive matzeva, he says, what you should do is hoyolahem liknos shas. Buy a shas that you put in. Buy a shas that you put into the bookcase. The lisnoi lebeis hamedrash. The yichtavu alav shu lezechen nishmat avoteihem. Or maybe to make a gemach, to give a halvaot, to give to acts of chesed, free loan society, to do these inyonim. He said lezechen nishmat ubozeh hoyom isale. He says nafshom meoid meoid lemalo. Said the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim says, especially said during the Shiva, Loshna Chofetz Chaim, Ubifrat b'toich Shiva Shloishim, because then the Koyach HaDin, the Neshama undergoes the most strictest chelik of the Din is throughout the Shiva and the Shloishim. And therefore he says, Yire leharbois avuram toiro utzdoko v'chetet kivi koichoi, shobozeh yatzilei medino shel gehinnom. That is the thing. And therefore you have to realize, everybody thinks, you know, the Kaddish, and people fight over it. My Kaddish, your Kaddish. Kaddish, as important as it is, that is the smallest part. You want to do something for your parents. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simuch Avod, he says, Afa pi shamirat ha-Kaddish va-Tfilot, he says, is mo'ilos la-Avot. It works. Ein elu ha-Ikar. That's not the main thing. What's the main thing if you want to do for your parents? Ha'ikar hu shabanim yelchu be'orach mishor. They should follow b'derech hayusher. Ki bozeh hei mezakim es avot. V'yesh lo ila adam l'tzavois es bonov. He should be mitzavah, instruct his children. L'hachzik beis a mitzvah. Tell your children to take one mitzvah, a special mitzvah. And always be careful in that mitzvah, he says. V'mikayimim nechshav yoyser min ha-kaddish. It's more important, he says, than the whole kaddish. By being mikayim, and this is tekanot toiva, what does somebody do who has only daughters? So who's going to say the Kaddish? You don't need the Kaddish, he says. If the daughters will do acts of chesed, and the daughters will be kind mitzvot, you will follow b'derech Hashem, this is the biggest chus. It's not the Kaddish. Yeah, you have to say the Kaddish. Of course, you say the Kaddish. It's not even the Kaddish. The tefillah, when it's capable, if he's able to daven for the amud, that's even more important, to be the chazan. That's the way it is. The Kaddish is the last thing. As it's pointed out, he used to say, another Mgordel used to say, he says, you know the difference is like this, he says. If somebody says the Kaddish, if someone says Kaddish, you're sending your father a telegram. If you do tefillah before the Amud, then you're sending him a letter. If you do tzedakah and you learn Mishnayos, you're sending him a package. That's the difference. There's a difference in the levels of what you're doing, of what you're sending him. It's not the same adrega, it's not all the same. And therefore you have to understand what this means. And therefore the idea is the learning of the Mishnayos, the acts of tzedakah and the chesed, these are the things, these are the most important things. And this is what the Chofetz Chaim emphasizes many, 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 many times. This is a nekuda. And therefore, just what I will leave you, which I will conclude for you. One of the great ge'oinim, was Reb Yankiv David Ritbaz. Ritbaz was a Goyen Oilon who was Nifter in the year 1913. He lived from 1845 till 1913. He basically was the Rav of Slutsk in Lithuania. He was a Goyen Oilon. Reb Ishe Zalman Meltzer said on him that Moyach Kozeh, a mind like that, he said, Lohoya B'meshech Dorot, many, many generations, he said. He didn't want such a mind. When he was still in his teens, he knew Shas Bal Peh. And he is very well known, world renowned for his Pirush on the Yerushalmi, which is called Toises Horid, it's called Ritbaz, and to this day, it's almost every edition of Talmud Yerushalmi, you have the Pirush of the Ritbaz. He was a tremendous kinoi. He was a loicham, l'chamot Hashem, for everything that's holy in Shemayim, for Kvod Shemayim. He gave his life, he sacrificed himself tremendously. It is said about the Ritbaz, that when he was in Tzfas, and that's where his kever is, by the way, not far from the kever of the Ari HaKadosh and the Ramak and so on in Eretz Yisrael. You can see it to this day, it's a little bit higher up, a little different direction there, but it's mamish close by in Tzfat. So Ritbaz, it was a particular afternoon one winter, and it was his father's yahrzeit, Yom HaShanah, his father's yahrzeit. He comes to shul earlier than usual from Mincha, before most of the people arrived. Most of the people were not there. So he goes over to a shtender, like this, and he puts his elbows, and he puts his head onto his hands, and one would see that he's thinking about something, and there were tears coming down his eyes. And people coming in, and they saw that actually he started to cry. And they knew that he lost his father. This is his yahrzeit, Yom HaShanah. But they went over to him, and they said to him, he said, Rabbi, why are you so upset? He said, your father was 80 years old when he died. And besides, it's already 50 years ago. He died 50 years ago. So this is the Yom HaShanah, this is the yahrzeit. Why are you crying? He says, I'll tell you. He said, I was thinking about the time, he says, when I was a young boy. And my father arranged for me, in those days there were not yeshivot. What happened was, if you're familiar a little bit in Europe especially, what they would do, they would hire a melamed, they would hire a rebbe. They would hire a rebbe privately. And rebbe basically would leave wherever he lived. He would go to the place where he was able to tutor for about 4 or 5 months, and then he would go home. This man was the entire winter's man. That's how he made his panasa, and he went home for Pesach. Like, he started after Sukkot and Pesach, and then he came back again. This is the way it was. So he says, my father, he said, hired a rebbe. Rebbe's name, he said, was Reb Chaim Sender, a private tutor. And he charged 1 ruble a month. He charged 1 ruble a month, which was a very large amount of money in those days. Especially for my father, who was very poor, and it was quite a bit of effort to be able to pay for the Rebbe, for my tutor, for the Malamed, to pay every month. He says, my father's panasa was making furnaces, boilers, to making furnaces, he says, for people. He said, with one winter, he says, business was very bad. Business was very bad because there was a shortage of cement and lime, and my father could not make furnaces, could not produce any furnaces. So as a result, my father couldn't make the payments to the tutor. He couldn't make the payments. 3 months went by, and still my father did not pay the tutor. One day, says the Ritbaz, he's saying this to the people in shul, one day I came home with a note, he says, from the Rebbe, from the tutor. And the note read, if he did not get the money the next morning, he would be unable to continue teaching me. My parents heard that, they were devastated. Because to them, my learning Torah was their whole life. And here they couldn't pay. They couldn't pay. There's no panasa. There's no cement, no lime. He couldn't make any furnaces. And he couldn't pay the Rebbe. 3 months he didn't pay the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says he's going to stop teaching. My father went to shul the next evening. He heard that there was a wealthy person that complained that the contractors that were building a home, a new home, wealthy man, building a new home for his son, the contractors could not get a furnace. They couldn't get a furnace because of the cement shortage. And the gevir, the oisher, the rich man, he offered in the shul, he made an announcement. He said, I offer 6 rubles to anyone who could get me a furnace. I need it for the new house for my son and daughter-in-law. I need a furnace. Anybody who can provide me a furnace, I give him 6 rubles. In Russia, you have to realize that a furnace was a vital household item because it was used both to heat the home and also to cook food. If you didn't have a furnace, you didn't have heat, you didn't have any hot food. Couldn't cook food. When my father came home from shul, he discussed the matter, he said, with my mother. And they agreed that my father should take apart our own oven brick by brick and build a new one for the rich man. Then they would have the 6 rubles to pay the tutor. My father says the Ritbaz did just that. Received the 6 rubles, which immediately gave me to pay the tutor. Tell the tutor, he said proudly, 3 is for back pay, and he says, and 3 for the next 3 months for my Yankov Dovid, Rabbi Yankov Dovid Ritbaz. Said, Ritbaz, I remember those days. He says, I was a young child. The winter was bitterly cold, he says, and we all froze and shivered. All that, so I should have the best melamed, the best Rebbe, to grow in Torah. Then he takes a breath and he says, this afternoon, now he's talking Tzvas, he says, this afternoon, as he was talking now, he says, it was cold outside, I wasn't feeling well. I thought maybe I should make a private minyan for the yahrzeit in my house and not go to shul. But then I reconsidered. Where is it a bigger kavod, to have a minyan in the house or to have the yahrzeit in the shul? I remember the great Mesirat Nefesh that my father had for me. He sacrificed the oven, he took apart the oven and froze my mother and my father. No food to cook, nothing, he says. All that I should become a Talmid Chacham. Does my father deserve a little bit of Mesirat Nefesh for me? This is the way Rabbi said, this is the way it was. This was the idea, this was the Hashkofa that Yidden had. This is the Mesirat Nefesh. That's why we have a Klal Yisrael today. Because in every generation you had parents who sacrificed their life. They gave up! Not luxury! They gave up the bare minimum to have this chus, to have children learn the Torah and to be Talmidei Chachamim. So let me read you 3 lines of the Tzavo'o that Ratbaz left to his children. You're not going to believe it. Ratbaz, before he passed away, he leaves a Tzavo'o to his children and he says the following. These are his last words. And he says as follows. It's amazing words, and this is written, by the way, in the Shailas Etshuvos, in the Shut of the Ritbaz. It's called Beis Ritbaz. Listen what the Ritbaz says, and this is what he's telling his children. La'achar arichot yomai. After my time is up, listen what the Ritbaz writes. Tizharu, I want you to be careful. B'yom shetomru kaddish, the day that you say the kaddish, lilmoid daf gemara b'zehayoyim. I want you to have a shir. I want you to have a shir on the day of my yahrzeit. I want you to have a shir to learn a blood gemara. V'miyechad v'shalom eze sibah. And if there's some reason, v'tevatlu hashir hazeh, and you can't have that shir, tizaharu me'od me'od, me'od me'od, be extra careful, sheloi loi mekadish b'zayon klal. I don't need your kaddish. If you cannot learn Torah on the day, he says, of my yahrzeit, I don't need your kaddish. You know why? You will not do any favor for my nishome be'omrechem kaddish beli limud daf gemara b'zehayom tizharu b'zeh. And he emphasizes again. This is what Torah means. This is what it means. I wish it's not a luxury to have Torah. People say like this, but I'm not a PhD. It's nice if he has Torah also. No. It's the other way around. He must have Torah. The other things, if he has it, fine. Whatever. But it's essential. It's not a luxury today. We see today what the world looks like. The 21st century, we see the highest point of civilization. We see where it leads to. We see the moral decay and the decadence of society by even the greatest of intellectuals. Because if there is no Torah in life, there are no morals. And one of the greatest philosophers, Aristo, but the Rambam says was the greatest Chacham. Rambam considered in a certain way a Talmud in some of the Chochmas of Aristotle. And Aristotle in his private life was one of the biggest, he was a Mushkas. He had a life of decay, a life of Hashkata. That was his life, his private life. Completely, there's no idea of moral at all. They asked him, how could it be such a Chacham like you? How do you have such a low life? He said, I'm only a Chacham from the shoulders and up, from the shoulders and down. He says, I'm no Chacham anymore. Says, then there's no sechel, then something else works, he says. Something else comes into play. Chacham, I'm from up here, he says. From here down, he says, I'm not chacham, he says. The only way to have some control in our lives is if you have taket the koyach ha-toyre. And I taket conclude. Now I tell you this is a ma'isa noira, and it's true, which makes it extremely important, as unbelievable as it is. There's a sefer called Uisha Lachoyma. I conclude with this. Sefer is called Uisha Lachoyma, which was written Lezichra Shel HaGaon HaTzadik Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who was of course the Rav of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, of the Eda Achredit. A ma'isa noira. It's unbelievable, I have to tell you. And you'll see when you get to the conclusion of what happened here. There was a woman, an Isha Mechubedet, a very honorable woman, a very honorable woman who ran a successful business. It was in the city of Prešburg. Prešburg, of course, in Slovakia. That's the place where the Chasam Sofer, he was the Av Bedin. B'meshech Shanim Rabot, b'meshech many, many years, she had a custom that she gave it through she gave a donation to the local yeshiva. What do you think the donation was for? The donation was that the yeshiva should say Kaddish for those neshamot that do not have children and relatives to say Kaddish for them. Unfortunately, there are many people in this world that leave the world, they are lost neshamot. They're isolated neshamot. They don't have who should say Kaddish for them. They don't. Some of them, we don't even know who they are. So many for them. This was the truma. This was the donation that she gave. The years, she loses her husband. Her husband dies, and being that the husband was the main koyach, the main force in the business went down. No husband, the business went down, and as a result, she had to close the business completely. She couldn't run the business. She closed the business to the point that she really had to live from hand to mouth, as opposed to when the business was, she lived in luxury. Her total lifestyle completely changed. In addition to the burden of day-to-day life, she also had an extra burden. She had two daughters of marriageable age, and she had no money to marry them off either. So she had that oil, she had that burden as well. So what did she do? She said, listen, if this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, she was Mekabel et Adin. She accepted. This is my goal in life. This is what Hashem wants. But one thing that she couldn't be Mevater. There's one thing that she couldn't accept. The fact she had no more money to make the donation to say the Kaddish for these lost neshamot. That she couldn't. She was able to take the tzar that she had no comfort in life. She was able to take the tzar, all of her worries, this lack of panasah. All of that she accepted. But she couldn't bear the thought that she's not able to continue the donations, that Kaddish should be said on behalf of those lost neshamot who have no one to say for them. So what did she do? So she goes to the Rosh Yeshiva, and she says, listen, this is my matzav. You know, all the years I've been supporting the yeshiva. I ask you, let the Kaddish continue. Let the Kaddish continue. And Bez Hashem, if one day I'm a tliach again, I'll pay backwards, retroactively, for all the Kaddish that's being said. The Rosh Yeshiva saw the purity of her heart, and she saw that Mamish, this is Mamish going into her. This is Benafsha. She really means this. He went along with it, and the Kaddish continued. This woman goes out on the street. She leaves Rosh Yeshivas. She goes down on the street, and coming against her, she sees an elderly gentleman with a rare hadrat panim. If you were supposed to imagine what Eliyahu HaNavi looked like, I guess with some long white flowing beard or something like that, she saw this very impressive, this gentleman. And lo and behold, the gentleman stops, and he greets her. She's very surprised. Never saw this gentleman. He doesn't know me. I don't know her. He stops to greet me. And then she was doubly surprised. Not only he greets me, he asks me, starts asking me about my matzav, how things are going for me, and so on and so forth. So she begins to groan, and she tells her matzav. She says how she's struggling. She's struggling to eke out a living on a daily basis, how difficult it is. And she has no money to marry off her daughters. Ask this old person who appeared from nowhere, what is the amount of money that you need? How much do you need? She says, what would you want to know? But you know what? And she mentioned the sum. The man takes out a check, and on the spot, he writes out a check to be cashed in the local bank for the entire sum that she needs. But before he signed it, he also expressed his wish that he wants two witnesses. that two witnesses should be there to see that in fact that he signed, it's not a forgery, that he signed this check. So the woman goes back into the yeshiva, she brings out two bachurim. She brings out two bachurim to be there when this unknown gentleman signs the check for the full amount, and the bachurim are there, and he says, tomorrow go immediately, as the bank opens, I want you to go to cash the check. The woman cannot believe what happened here. Who is this person? Never saw him, never met this person, and he writes out a check for the full amount that I need. She goes to the bank. She goes to the bank and she gives it to the officer. The officer sees the tremendous amount of money that the check represents. Something was fishy over here. So what does he do? He looks at the woman, looks at the check, and looks back and forth, you know, that. Says, it doesn't make sense here. Says, so what does he do? He figures he's going to go to his supervisor. He goes to the supervisor, which is his boss, and now he shows the check to the boss, the supervisor. Supervisor sits in his fancy office, and he sees the check. As soon as he sees the check, he slips out of his chair and he faints. Supervisor. You can imagine what happened in the bank. The supervisor faints, everybody comes running together. They start with him, try to release him, and they try, Hatzalah! What happened here? No one can imagine the situation, what occurred over here. Finally, he comes to, says, bring in the woman. He brings in the woman, and he says to her, he says, how did you get this check from? Where did you get this check? So he says, I'll tell you, I don't know myself. He's walking on the street, and I met this particular person, who stopped me on the street. He asked me the amount, and he wrote it out, and he gave me the exact amount of the check. Asked the supervisor, how did you recognize how this man looked like? So he says, yes, of course, I would recognize him. If I show you a picture, would you recognize him? The supervisor goes into the office, and out of the drawer, he brings the picture, and he asks the woman, he says, you recognize it? Yes, of course, this is the man. The supervisor says, that's my father. You can go now. And the supervisor tells the following story. He says, I want you to know, he says, I want you to know that my father had passed away, and I was no longer following B'derech HaTorah. My father passed away 10 years ago. My father passed away 10 years ago. The man you saw. My father passed away 10 years ago. Last night, he comes to me in a dream and says, I want you to know that from the moment that you left, that you strayed, from the moment that you strayed from B'derech HaTorah and you married a non-Jewish woman, my neshama does not have peace in Shemayim. Because no one is saying Kaddish after me and you are not doing the right thing. My neshama is bitzar. But because of this woman who had hired the yeshiva to say Kaddish for all of those neshamot that don't have whom to say Kaddish after, my neshama was receiving a nachat ruach in Shemayim because of the donation of this woman. And therefore I want you to know, this is what he's dreaming. The father's telling the dream that tomorrow you're going to have a woman who's going to come to you with a check, and you better honor that check. So when he wakes up in the morning, he says, this is a crazy dream. He said, a woman's going to come with my father's signature, how is it possible? And I told it over to my wife. My wife says, merely laughed it off. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, he says, I want you to know, do you know who the two Bachram were? The two Bachram who gave testimony to the signature of the deceased person who came down to this world? It was myself and Rabbi Yehuda Greenwald. Rabbi Yehuda Greenwald was a Rav in Satmar who wrote Eishal Shetshuva Zichron Yehuda. Both Rabbi Yosef Chaim and Rabbi Yehuda Greenwald were Talmidim of the Ksav Sefer. He said, I myself, he says, was one of the Bochrim who signed that. You can imagine that the supervisor became a Baal Tshuva, his wife became Megayer Kedin, and they built a Jewish home. I have to tell you that I believe it was maybe 20 years or more or a little bit less in my shul. I told the Olam this story. It was after the drosha, someone came over to me and says, I want to make a donation for the shul to hire a Talmid Chacham to say Kaddish for those neshamot that do not have who should say Kaddish. And I believe it continued for 2 or 3 years or so, that there was someone, a particular Rav, Talmid Chacham, who continued to say Kaddish for all those neshamot that do not have whom to say Kaddish for them. You could see the tremendous chus in Shemayim, This came back midah b'midah many years later. We saw the great schus that this woman had. Akoponim, it's a tremendous schus that the Olam has come together here to the Yom HaShloshim, the Aviv Shel Rav Shlita. This is a tremendous schus. And if we say that Brom Mezake Abo, there's no question that Rav Kohen, who is working with the Mesiras Nefesh on behalf of the community, and especially on behalf of the Kehillah, him and his Rebbetzin, the Bez Hashem, that all of this, the mitzvot and the masim tovim and the Mesiras Nefesh, on behalf of Harbotas Torah, on behalf of Tzedakah v'Chesed in Chinuch Habonim, in the way that is the true Hemshech HaMesorah, that this will be Le'ilu Nishmas Oviv, the Zoyche that the Nishuma Bez Hashem should have an Aliyah, and we should all be Zoyche. Rebanim, Ibn Ebonim, Oskim, Betorah, Bamitzim, Tachsimcha, Venacha, Shefa, Brocha, Vatzlocha, Abiyaz, Goyot Tzedek, Memher, Memenu. Amen.
Thank you once again. Olbam for tremendous words of Chizuk. You know, it's everything works with there is Hashkacha that the Dafka it worked out that the program tonight should be held on the end of the year, that perhaps, you know, I would say that the inspiring words of the Rav would have tremendous impact, even if you know, I believe Rabbi Stal Salanter says that the preparation that goes into a drasha, that let's say an hour drasha, is not just basically preparing for 1 hour, many many hours, many many years of learning goes into preparation. And basically it says, Rabbi Stal Salanter says that if the whole lecture, the whole drasha is there for one individual, let's say a group of 100 people listen to it, and even if one individual changes by it, says it's worth it. And says Rabbi Sal Salanter, even if that person would be the speaker himself, it's worth it. Rabbi Zalshem, if one individual here tonight, that we know that tonight is especially an opportune night for us to be able to learn, especially for the sake of Klal Yisrael, and if one individual will be inspired tonight by the words of Rav Olbam, that Hashem, we should be careful to keep away. That he says that one of the Gedolim says that at the time that the Jews received the Torah, their face was keneged ahar. It says that they were standing and everybody was surrounding the mountain Har Sinai. It says once your face is towards the Torah, automatically your back is to the rest of the world. That means we don't care. We are not, you know, what they consider important, we don't even care about. We are, you know, we are facing the Torah, we are facing the Shekhinah. And with Hashem, this should be our attitude, especially tonight, that we know it's busy out there, doing, you know, all sorts of things that perhaps is absolutely improper. That we should be, with Hashem, be inspired. That you know, we should be Hashem tonight, that the couple of hours is left, to be inspired with the words. And Hashem, we should be caring about our own neshamot, to keep it holy and, you know, part of the Am Segula. I wanted to unfortunately I was not zoche to finish the Masechta. I still have a little bit left. And Hashem, the day of the Shloshim itself is on Wednesday. As Hashem, I hope to be able to finish it, but I wanted to just say one last piece of the Gemara in Masechet Berachot that has to do with this inyan that I had prepared, that hopefully if I would have been able to finish it, unfortunately I wasn't able to have the time to finish it. So I wanted to say the Gemara says that the last daf of Masechet Berachot is also this Gemara, famous Gemara. It says Talmid Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha לא בעולם הזה, לא בעולם הבא. שנאמר ילכו מחיל אל חיל. The Gemara says that ילכו מחיל אל חיל, they always go and travel from a stage to a stage, from one level to another level. They're never going to be a relaxation, not in this world for them, not in the next world. It says when it says that Visham Yanuchum Yegiye Koach, that refers to Sham Yanuchu, the fact that they're going to have Menucha, comfort. That's Menucha from Yetzer Hara. The evil inclination is not going to entice them. That's in Olam Haba. That's in that type of a Menucha. But in general, Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha, Lo Be'olam Hazeh Ve'lo Lo Be'olam Haba. So the Vilna Gaon says on his commentary on this Masechta, says as follows. Says, as the Rav mentioned, Ha'olam Be'olam Hazeh, Adam Nikra Holech. شو هلق تعمیر معلا الید میتفوت شو وسه اول به علم ابا نقرا امت این علم ابا این جنرال every individual by himself is considered to be امت is standing one level اول به علم ابا نقرا امت شو به علم ابا یه افشال اصود میتفوت is impossible to fulfill any میتفوت finished اول یش کاما صدیکیم شفیل به علم ابا هم نقرای محل خیم there are صدیکیم in special individuals that even in Olam Haba they are considered to be walking, constantly growing from Madrega to Madrega, Madrega Gedola Shein Lemana Mimena, there are unique individuals. These are unique Talmid Chachamim. So says, Harav, this is the commentary of Harav Vilna Gaon. Harav Val Yosef in his commentary on the Gemarot in Maor Israel, he brings from the Ariza. He says, نیر اله هزبیر همه منزه الپی من شکتر به شهر من شکتور به شهر اکبانوت رب خیم ویتل رایس به شم راف هیز ربی رب اینو عریض در ایسه سیگیل دی موری عریض در که پم اخد هل اولو به حکیت وان تایم دی شود هیم تو 500 years ago تو رب اینو عریض در ایسه از فالوس ایسه از خاخم گادو به تو را شاید گادو به دورو one of the gedolim of the generation, they showed him through a vision to Arizal minadurot hakodmi shayudanim oto bashamayim al shepam achad kayaholech beshabad berushud harabim benichnas me'elav me'at afar betuch min alu bilti kavana. One time one of the gedolim from the previous generation, that means Arizal was about 500 years ago from a generation before him, let's say a couple of generations from beforehand. So that means we are talking about this individual lived about, let's imagine, 600 or 700 years ago. So one time he was walking Bereshut Harabim on Shabbat, and accidentally a little bit sand enters his shoes, and he doesn't bother to take off his shoe to let go of the sand, you know, to let it go loose. Behalachbu arba amod Bereshut Harabim, and he walks this way with the sand inside, with the pebbles inside his shoes, he continues to walk this way. Ki be'et ha'i higi ha'zman kesha chacham ahu le'alot le'madrega yoter eliona mina madrega she'aital ha'italo ad az began Eden. So this individual, this Rav, had already achieved Gan Eden after, you know, let's say 200 years. He had already been, whatever it is, after 100 years, whatever it was, after a couple of years, he had already reached Gan Eden. However, they showed Rabbeinu Arizal through the vision that at this point, after let's say 100 or 200 years, they were interested in Shamayim to move him to higher step, to higher level in Gan Eden. It's unlimited. So therefore they wanted to move him up. So therefore what? Therefore why are they judging him again? The primary shona lo ne'enash as diktuk kaze. The first many years he was never judged for this diktuk, because Haravavad Yosef brings that to begin with is Pesik Resha Bemelacha Derabanan Delonich Bale, whatever it is, says to begin with, halachically speaking, is not Asur whatsoever at all. What is brought in Shara Kavanot is not Asur at all. Alpi Halacha is not Asur at all. He says the rak Ata Sheratu Le'alotu Le'madrega Yoter Eliyona Hayu Medaktekin Imo Beyoter Vedanu Ve'enishu Oto Al Diktukei Mitzvot Kayotze Basa. So it says we come to understand one level that Talmid Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha Lo Be'olam Hazeh Lo Le'olam Haba. That it could be that a person, you know, it says that we know that there is famous Gemara, that Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktekim Tzaddikav Kechut HaSa'ara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges when it comes to Tzaddikim Kechut HaSa'ara, for the minutest detail. Maybe perhaps in the beginning years, not. No, you are not in that level to be judged. You're going to be judged for you know, things that we know, tefillin, Shabbat, Kashrut, learning, etc. Talmud Torah can get kulam. You know, as the Gemara says, that the punishment, the Tosfot brings, that the punishment of Bitul Torah is going to be Chas v'Shalom, the first punishment by Amina. So therefore, when it comes to these important things, that's going to be the original judgment. That by the, perhaps a couple of years down the road, for this individual, maybe 100 years afterwards, he was judged for something that is even Midat Chasidut, to begin with, is not even Halacha, is only Midat Chasidut. So nevertheless, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years down the road, when eventually that individual is going to be taken, he, right now is the time for him to go to Gan Eden Elyon. So he has to be even decided upon for the minutest. So B'ezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us all, that B'ezrat Hashem we should be able to be Zoche during the 120 years that is afforded to us. We should be able to be Zoche to fulfill what ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created us all, is only Torah and Mitzvot, as the Rav mentioned. That B'ezrat Hashem we should be able to focus, and we should be able to send away all the distractions that is bothering us, that especially in our generation, there is an unbelievable amount of distractions that exist in the world. B'ezrat Hashem, we should all, with purity of our hearts, we should be able to dedicate ourselves to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to Klal Yisrael. B'ezrat Hashem. B'ezrat Hashem, we say Kaddish Al Yisrael. Okay.